Let's go. Okay, we're in the Gemara Ksubis, Daf Samach Gimel Amid Aleph.
Are we Mishnah?
The Mishnah, yes.
Okay.
63A1,
yeah.
Towards the bottom of the page. I mean, in the Schattenstein. It's the second of the wide lines of Samach Gimel Amid Aleph. Okay? The Mishnah says like this. Okay, until now we learned the obligations of the wife to the husband and the husband to the wife. Now the Mishnah is going to say, talk about fun stuff. What happens when the wife doesn't do what she's supposed to, and the husband doesn't do what he's supposed to?
Never happens.
Never happens. So the Mishnah says like this. If a woman rebels against her husband, the Gemara is going to explain exactly what that means. Basically, the obligation she has to the husband, she's not doing. She rebels. So the din is, Peschulam Ksivata Shiva Dinim B'Shabbos. You deduct from her ksuba 7 diners a week. Okay? That means a diner per day. Rabbi Yehuda says, Shiva Terapkoin, Terapikin. And the Gemara is going to explain later what that means. Okay, that's what Rashi says. The Gemara explains later what that means. So there's an argument. Bottom line is, a woman has X amount of ksuba, 200 silver zuz. She doesn't listen, she doesn't do her obligations, Bezdin deducts from the ksuba either seven dinners or 7 trapokaikin, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Amasi upeches, how long do you keep deducting the money for? At kineged ksubasa. Up to the ksuba, meaning she can end up losing the whole ksuba. Okay? He explains over here just an interesting thing. Okay. So, basically, they give an example. What happens if the whole ksuba is 1,400 dinners? So she loses 7 a week, so it'll take her 200 weeks.
200 weeks or 200 days?
200 weeks. 7 a week.
Oh, okay.
And it's 1,400, so it'll be 200 weeks. But anyway, it's 4 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question. There's like 7 things she's supposed to do, right?
Right. So we're just going to discuss what these things are. Okay. Now, Rabbi Yossi Ahmed, listen to this. Rabbi Yossi says, you don't stop when the ksuba becomes zero. You keep deducting.
Really?
How can you deduct something? He says like this. Rabbi Yossi Ahmed, Leilam Upechas Ha'ilich, he keeps going indefinitely. She can't get more, less than zero. But it means, if she gets other properties, he can take from that money. He could take from the other properties.
But why doesn't he just divorce her?
1 minute. After the ksuba is nothing, he could divorce her without having to pay her a cent. What happens if he decides not to divorce her? He just keeps deducting. Once he divorces her, he pays the ksuba of that time. Right?
Is it punishment?
No.
What is it?
It is a knas. It is a fine, the chadim give it, to motivate her to do what she has to do. What does it mean? Shemtipa la Yerushim Mokamacher, that if she gets an inheritance from somewhere else, gave a manu, the husband could collect money from it. Okay? That means even, you still keep deducting it, that if these properties, he can still bill her for 7 dinars a week, that if she ever gets money, she'll have to pay it from that money that she gets. Now, v'chein ha'meided al ishtay. Now what happens if the husband rebels against the wife? He doesn't do what his obligations are. So the din is, meisifin al ksubasa shleish din b'shabbos. According to the Chachamim, you add to her ksuba 3 dinners a week. That means deducting, okay?
It's more.
But the Gemara is going to explain why you're doing more this way. Then this should be equal. But Rabbi Yehuda Ahmed, Shleisha Trapa'ikin. It's not 7, but 3 Trapa'ikin. Okay? The bottom line is, the Mishnah is saying a very simple din. The wife rebels, you deduct
seven
dinners a week or the seven pakoim, whatever they are. If the husband doesn't listen to his obligations, then you add to the ksuba.
Why is that? Because he has less obligations than her?
We'll see. The Gemara is going to accept that one. So now the Gemara says, "Meredes mimai." When the Mishnah itself, she rebels, what is she rebelling against? Is it all seven? The Gemara is going to talk about it, but the Gemara is asking now, what is the rebellion that she's rebelling? So Rav Huna says, "Mitashim shamita." She refused marital relations for him. And Rabbi Yisi Bechanina mimimlacha. From the performing the work, like we said before, the 10 things, you know, that she has an obligation, the 7 things that she has an obligation to do, so those things is rebelling. Okay? Meaning that a woman is obligated, meaning like this. Rabbi Yisi, Rav Huna said before, if you remember in the Gemara, a while ago, Rav Huna said before in the Gemara, a woman can say to the husband, don't support me, and I won't work for you. That's what Rav Huna held. This Rabbi Yisi Rav Chanina that says that if she rebels in performing work means, even if she says to the husband, you know what? Don't support me, and I will not work for you. So Rabbi Yisi Rav Chanina says a woman cannot do that. Rav Huna earlier in the Gemara said a woman could do that. She could say, listen, you don't do your obligations, or rather, I won't do my obligations. You won't do your obligations. A fair deal. You have obligations to me. I have obligations to you. The woman could say, you know what? I won't do mine and you don't do yours. The Yisi Brachanina says no. Therefore, by the way, Rav Huna over here, what is she rebelling against? Marital relations. Because Rav Huna, she can't say to the husband, don't support me and I won't give you marital relations. That doesn't work. But Rabbi Yisrael Rav Chanina argues against what Rav Huna said before, and he holds that even if a woman says to the husband, I won't work and you don't support me, she cannot say that. Not like Rav Huna said, that she could say it. So the Gemara says, Tana, we learned in the Mishnah like this. Hamedet al ishtei, if a woman rebels against his wife, right, what does it say? And the Mishnah says, remember the Mishnah says, if the wife rebels, you deduct from the ksuba. Right? If the husband rebels,
you add to
the ksuba. So the Gemara said, Bishle milamandiyam mitashmish. Mele, the guy that says, the opinion that says, the rebellion is about marital relations. That makes sense. She rebels, she doesn't want to give him marital relations. He doesn't want to give her marital relations. That makes sense. But if the man di amim mimlacha, if you're telling me that it means from the work, what work does a husband do to the wife? In other words, when the Mishnah says the wife rebels and the husband rebels, so it has to be the same rebellion. Correct? It has to be the same rebellion. So if you say the rebellion is marital relations, then it makes sense how he rebels because she wants to be and he doesn't want to be. Right? But if you say it's work, that means she rebels by not doing work. What work does a husband have to do for the wife? He doesn't have to do any work for her. So it doesn't make sense then to say that rebellion would be work because it doesn't apply by the husband to the wife. The wife says, yeah, of course. Ain't he zon, v'ain't him a fairness. When the husband says, you know what? I'm not feeding you. I'm not clothing you. I'm not providing for you. That is a melacha, the obligation that the husband has. It's called melacha because he has to work to make the money. Okay, so if she refuses to work for him, he refuses to work for her. What's the work? Supporting her. So if a husband says to the wife, I refuse to support you. So the Mishnah says, then he has to add every day 3 dinners or 3 whatever the other stuff is called. Or, according to the opinion, marital relations is only marital relations, not malach.
Why don't you just get a divorce, get it over with already?
He doesn't want to pay the ksuba.
In terms of marital relations, how would the judges know?
The claim, yeah.
Video.
No, the Gemara says later, so we obviously can't have witnesses in the room, but you can find out.
Why the first option is, Knas, why not, you can have any therapy, like go to the rabbi or someone to get therapy. They look at the first thing is trap.
The Gemara is not done. The Gemara is going to ask the question, by the way. Why don't they talk to him?
Yeah.
Talk to her. Gemara's going to ask that question, but there's, obviously, you want to know what the simple meaning of the mission is? They went to therapy and it didn't help. Okay? Now she's still rebelling. Okay? Now the Mishnah doesn't say it, but it seems to make sense. If they have problems, go talk to somebody and solve the problems. So obviously if they go to talk to somebody and solve the problems, then the Mishnah is mute. It doesn't apply. So obviously either they don't want to go, which happens by the way, as everybody knows, they don't want to go, or they went and it didn't work. In fact, Gemara says, Merav, he says, what do you mean? He says, Merav, Rav said, Ha'ema eini zon, ve'eini mefarnes. The Gemara says, so far, what was the rebellion of the husband? That he says, I'm not going to support you. So then, what does the Mishnah say? You add to the ksuba, correct? But the Chayyim Gemara says it's not true, because Amar Rav said, if a husband says to the wife, I'm not feeding you, providing, yay to be eating ksuba. You have to divorce her right away and give her the ksuba. So what do you mean you add to the ksuba? Add to the ksuba means he doesn't have to divorce her, and you just keep adding to the ksuba. Right? But Rav said, no, if a guy says, I'm not supporting my wife,
she'll die of hunger.
Huh?
She'll die of hunger.
No, she can go work. So the Gemara answers like this. I understand what you're talking about. Don't you talk to him first? Even according to Rav, right? Rav says, the guy says to his wife, I'm not supporting you. I'm not providing for you. So Rav says, he divorces her and gives her a ksuba, correct? So Gemara said, how could you say you add to the ksuba? Here you're not adding to the ksuba, you're just divorcing her. So Gemara said, what are you talking about? You don't think Rav says, lamluchi be means they talk to him, consult with him first. Don't you think Rav doesn't say, the Gemara says, that you must divorce her? What does Rav say you should do? Just think of logic. Talk to him, maybe convince him to support her, find out why he's not supporting her. Right? Figure it out.
And during that time, while you're figuring it out.
Oh, so then that's what the Mishnah says. While you're figuring it out,
That's when you add to the ksuba.
But may say, the Gemara says like this. Achasli, it's a funny expression, but the rebellious woman is one and the same to me, whether she, meaning, this din of a rebellious woman applies whether Arusa, Kedushin only, married, even if she's Nida, when she's not allowed to have relations with the husband, Afilu Chayla, even if she is sick, Afilu Shemeris Yavan, she's waiting to have Yibum, right? Her husband died without children, the brother has to marry her, right? The brother has to marry her, Yibum. But whatever she said, I don't want to marry the guy. So she's rebelling. All these types of women are rebelling. Meaning, even if a woman is sick, and she can't give the husband marital relations, she's called rebelling.
Why?
What's that? We're going to see. But this is what the Braisa says. Okay? The Braisa says, whether it's after Kedushin, but by the way, they're not allowed to live together. Nida, they're not allowed to live together. All these things. The Mishnah says, that's rebellious. Now the question is, if you're talking about marital relations, how could that be called rebellious? She's not married to the guy and she can't leave with him. Right? If she's Nida, she's not allowed to be with him. So why is that called rebellious? The Braisa says, this rebellious wife we're talking about doesn't matter, includes everything. Kedushin only, Nisuin, sick, Nida, whatever it is. So the Gemara says, Bishleim Mandi Omer Melacha Shapit. This makes sense. According to the opinion of that says the rebellious is with work. then I understand, even though she's neither, she still has to do work for him, right? Just to feed him or whatever. According to the opinion that says, mitashmish, from marital relations, neither bastashmish, she can't have relations anyway with him. So why would she be called a rebellious wife? Or, I don't know why the Gemara doesn't say it, but the same thing applies to the other stuff. Right? Like, Kedushin, without marriage, you can't live with her anyway. So why would that be cool?
Maybe Nida means that she's finished with Nida, she refuses to go to the wake.
It's the same thing, because she's still Nida. It would be the same thing. Amalach, by the way, that is another concept, by the way, that's brought down. By the way, that one of the rebellious aspects is that she finished, she would be able to go to the mikveh, and she refuses to go. Okay, so now it says, Amalai, he answered like this. A woman, when she's nida, or these things, is not called rebellious woman. Why? Amalach ain't a daima, you can't compare somebody, she actually passed besalai, that has bread in his basket, to somebody that doesn't have bread in the basket. Okay? Meaning like this. This is an expression the Gemara says later. Basically, the question over here is, if she's nida, which she's not allowed to have relations with the guy, how could she be called a rebellious wife?
Yeah.
The answer is, because a guy who has bread in his basket, the Gemara says basically, is never hungry. That's the Gemara's expression. You can't compare a guy who has bread in his basket to a guy who doesn't have bread in his basket.
Has the woman there? Oh.
So the fact that she's nida, but she could become non-nida. When it finishes, she can go to the mikvah. Right? So you can't call that. So therefore, what's the case? So therefore, the din is like this. If she doesn't want to go to the mikvah, in other words, what the case, the Gemara says, and this is explained on the next page, that when she says, I'm not planning to go to the mikvah. Even when I become Torah, I'm not going to go to the mikvah. Understand? That is the rebellious wife. While she's Nida itself, it's not a rebellious wife, because the guy has bread in his basket. Meaning, even though he's not eating it now, but he knows he eventually will be able to eat it. Right? But the woman that says, I will never be with you even when I'm able to go to the mikveh, I'm not going to go to the mikveh, so then that's a rebellious wife.
Is it just by the way, Mon in the Midbar was Pat Besala or not Pat Besala? They didn't know it's coming tomorrow.
It wasn't Pat Besala.
But they didn't have it.
Right. They still didn't have it yet.
It's going to come.
We said this is a very famous, the simple Gashmiyistika marshal for this. We said last time. If you eat breakfast every day 9 o'clock, so you don't eat breakfast before 9 o'clock. On a fast day, 8 o'clock in the morning, you're already hungry. Mm-hmm. A headache, why? You don't eat anyway breakfast tonight. What's the answer? No, psychologically, what's the answer? Every day, I know I can have. So even though I'm not eating yet, the fact I know that I have, it satisfies me. A fast day, I know I can't eat at 9. So already 8 o'clock, I have a headache. Now this is human nature, Bechlal. Mishi Yeshli Pas B'Salai. You can't compare a guy. So therefore, like this. The case of the Nida, she's not a rebellious wife. Because she can go to the mikveh. She says, okay, I'll wait, whatever it is. But if she says, I'm never going to go to the mikveh, even when I'm taught, I'm not going to go be with you, that's called a rebellious wife.
The same thing, Arusa.
Yeah, the same thing. By Rusi, he knows he's going to get married. Well, she's I'm not, never marrying you.
All the same.
Yeah. Okay, that's one version of this. Ika de Amri, another version is just the opposite. Here the Gemara said, it makes sense according to the person says Malacha. Right? Because then it makes sense. Arusa, Nida, whatever. Here the Gemara says the opposite. Mela, the one that says sick, marital relations. That's why it says, even when she's sick. Okay? Because even if she's sick, she could be with the husband, then, you know, she should be penalized for it. But if you're saying the rebellion is against work, can a sick person work? She's sick. She can't work. We're seeing an interesting thing. Marital relations she could have, but she can't work.
Eventually she can work. Then she can feel better.
Oh, 1 second. So this is what the Gemara is going to answer. Then again, this is the second version of the same discussion. So we must say it means that the woman rebels against Tashmish. That kulam aloi pligi davam eretz. Meaning like this. Rav Huna and Rav Yisib Rav Chanina agree on one thing. If a woman rebels against marital relations, everybody says it's rebellion. The question is work also considered a rebellion? If she says, I'm not going to do work. Ki pligi, what's the argument? Memelacha from work. Mar Sover, Rav Huna holds, Memelacha lo yavam eredes. Rav Huna says only marital relations makes her rebellious. Work does not, I mean not working, does not make her rebellious.
What?
Huh? 1 second. Mar Sover, Rav Yisrael Chanina says it is. Okay? Because again, Rav Huna said before, the wife can say to the husband, don't support me, and don't feed me. So that's not a rebellious wife. Rav Huna said before in the Gemara, and it's the same Rav Huna saying this, if a wife refuses to work for the husband, she is not called a rebellious wife because she has a right to say, I will not work for you and you don't support me. She has a right to do it. So how can you call her a rebellious wife if she says, I'm not working? All he has to do is not support her, that's all. But there's no reason to be called that a rebellious. But Rabbi Yisrael Rav Chanina says a woman is not allowed to say that. She has no right to say, don't support me and I won't work for you. So according to Rabbi Yisrael Rav Chanina, if a woman rebels from work, it's called a rebellion. Because she has no right to say, I'm not going to work for you. Okay, so the bottom line of the Gemara, so far in explaining the Mishnah, a woman who rebels against the husband in marital relations, everybody says is a rebellious wife. If a woman rebels by saying, I'm not working for you, according to Rav Huna, she's not rebellious because she has a right to say, I won't work for you and you don't support me. Okay? And Rav Chanina says, no, that is a rebellious wife. Now, if you just analyze it for a second, it's possible like this. Why does one hold she could say it, and one hold she can't say it? Rav Huna says a woman has a right to say, don't support me, and I won't work for you. Rabbi Yisrael Rav Chanina says a woman has no right to say that. What's the argument? Okay, so the question is probably like this. The husband supports, she works. Yeah? What's the chicken and what's the egg? Rav Huna holds the chicken is her benefit that he has to support her. In response to that, she has an obligation to work for him. The other opinion says no. The main thing is she has to work for him. Because she works for him, he has to support her. In other words, when the Chachamim established the husband works and he supports her and she works, whose benefit was that for? Rav Huna holds it was the wife's benefit. That he has to support her. Right? Meaning, the Chachamim made a decree the husband must support the wife. Right? Therefore, because it's her benefit, she can decline the penalty. Like they do in football, right? She can say, I don't want him to work, I don't want him to support me. And therefore I won't work for him. If that takana was made for her benefit, then she could refuse it. But if you hold that Takana was, no, it was for the husband's benefit. She has to work for him. To make up for that, the husband has to support her. Then she has no right to say, I don't want it, because this wasn't her Takana. It was a decree for the husband's benefit. That's the question. Everybody says the husband supports and the wife has to work for him. You know, they're very cleaning, they're the cooking, they're the grinding, all that stuff. The question is, whose benefit was that made for?
Can I say both?
It's a mutual one.
Yeah,
it's no.
For his.
That's what Rav Huna says. It was her benefit.
Can't be one way.
No. Chaim said, listen, a husband marries a woman, he's obligated to take care of her. So, what does he get from it? She works for him. Right? But it's her call. Because it was for her. If she says, you know what? Rabbis, thank you very much. I'm not interested in my benefit that you want to give me.
That's according to Rav Huna.
Right. And Rabbi Yosef Rav Hanina says, no, the decree was the husband, the wife has to work for the husband. It was for the husband's benefit. He has somebody doing work for him. Grinding, cooking, all that, right? To reconcile that, he has to reciprocate, he has to give her support. But she can't decline a penalty that's against her.
But a man acquires a woman. When he acquires something, he's responsible. Like even, you can acquire an animal, you have to feed it.
Right.
But same thing.
But then the animal works in the field for you.
Not all animals.
If it's fit for work.
Rebellious animal.
It does what it's able to do.
Chicken, it doesn't lay eggs.
Get rid of it.
Hey, it's hard to understand this, Rabbi. It's not both ways.
Hmm?
There's only one way argument. Is it for benefit of man or benefit
whose
of woman?
Benefit is it for?
But that's why it's
the
not
problem,
clear.
Normally you need to do both.
It's not clear or...
No, so Rav Huna says it's her benefit. If it's her benefit, she has a right to say, you know what? Don't give me the benefit, and I'm not going to work. I'm not going to reciprocate to you. Rabbi Yisrael Chanina says, no, it wasn't her benefit. It's the benefit of the husband. So she can't come along and say, don't support me and I won't work for you. Because the Chacham said, no, for the husband's benefit, they want a wife working for him. Why did the Chacham make it very simple? If not, who's going to do it for him? Another woman who's not his wife. That's not right. Right? So it's a partnership. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. Go for what we said before in the Gemara. Hamedadas al Baila, a woman who rebels against her husband. Yeah? What did the Braises say right after the Mishnah? Why is this? Okay. This is a whole, now the Gemara is going to quote the whole Braises, which is really an extension of the Mishnah. It says like this. Hamedadas al Baila, because before the Gemara quoted half a Brais, now the Gemara is quoting the whole Brais. A meredes habayla, a woman who rebels against her husband. What did this say? Praise chalam iksivav shiva dinim b'shabbos. You take off 7 dinners a week, right? Rabbi Yudaime shiva trapa ikin. 7 trapiaks, whatever. Okay? Now, this is the first halachic ruling. But then the Gemara says, Rabbi Seinu, Chazru v'nimnu, the later Chachamim of the Mishnah, changed that psak, changed that halacha. And what did they say? They didn't deduct any money. Not yet. Okay? When she rebelled, no deduction was made. What did they do? They announced in Shabbos, 4 weeks in a row, that this and this wife is a rebellious wife.
Oh,
yeah. That's why it says Shabbosis. It says, why Shabbosis? Because, not weeks, because when do people come to shul?
More people.
He came on Shabbos. They came to shul. Okay, and not only that,
they would announce it.
Yep, and publicly in shul. Mrs. So-and-so is a rebellious wife.
This was the halacha?
Well, the earlier halacha was, between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, was that they just deducted money from the ksuba. The later rabbi said, no, we're changing that.
Well, later
that's
rabbi
something
said
private,
that.
Why do you have to make it public?
1 minute. Let's see what they say. The Shulchan of Bezdin and Bezdin send her the following message. Have a Yadas, you should know. Shafilu ksubaseich meyamana. Even if your ksuba is 100 times the normal ksuba. Yeah? I mean, even it's a massively big ksuba. You should know, hifsadita, that if you're going to continue being rebelling, you're going to lose the whole ksuba. Achasli, and this is the same, whether she's arusa, this is what the Gemara brought before, whether she's arusa, Nesua married, Nida, Chayla, Shemeres Yavan, all these cases, if she's a rebellious wife, they publicly announce it in 4 weeks in a row. Because by then 4 weeks, everybody's usually there. You know, people come just for Kiddush, people come, you know, whatever. By then 4 weeks, everybody was there. And they announce it. So the Gemara says, 1 minute. Amar Abchir Barav Yosef Lishmuel, Nida Bastashmashu. What is a woman who's Nida not being with her husband can announce it in Shul that she's a rebellious wife. She can't be with him anyway. It's halachically forbidden. Amalei, so again, the Gemara says, Ein Adem Misha Shepas Pesali, Misha Ein Pas Pesali. Again, it's not speaking of Nida because he knows after she finishes the Nida, she will be with him. Talking about a wife that says, I'm never going to go to the mikveh, even when I'm able to. Okay.
Can you imagine that happened today?
Why not?
Can you imagine what happened today if they did that show?
1 second.
Oh, you're not
going to say that. Okay? Now, where do you publicly announce it? Where do you publicly announce it? It says, a machrizen al ele babati kinesias ubati medrashis. Only in the shuls and in the yeshiva. Not in any other place. Not in any other place. Not in the football games, not in the Super Bowl. Shabbos and shul. The Gemara says, they amir ava de kanami. I'll prove it that it means only in shul. Because it says, arba shabbosis zu achazu. 4 consecutive shabbosim. Now, why do you only do it on Shabbos? Because that's when the public is in shul. And the Gemara says, Shema Mino, it's a good proof. Okay? Which means that the Chachamim, and this is what the Braisa is adding to the Mishnah, according to the Braisa, they didn't deduct right away from the Ksuba. They announced it 4 weeks in shul. And then they sent her a letter, because the Bezin sent her the following message. Okay? And the Gemara is going to say later, they sent her twice the message. Once before they start announcing it publicly, they send her this message, it doesn't matter how much your ksuba is worth, you're going to lose it all. And then when they finish the 4 weeks announcing, then they say again, they send a message to her, you should know that if you're going to rebel, keep rebelling, you're going to lose your whole ksuba, even if it's $1 million. So, Amar Rami Bar Chama, Pamayim, now this is what Gemara is saying now. Amin Abba Pamayim Shochel Ami Bezin. Bezin sends the message to her twice, like we just said. Achas Kedem Achraza, once before the public announcement. Meaning, what do we tell her? Bezin basically telling her, we're going to start publicizing this. You want to save yourself humiliation? Stop rebelling. She still doesn't? That's when they announce it publicly. In other words, not stam, they didn't warn her. The Gemara is saying, Bezdin warned her. Before they start announcing it in the shul 4 weeks in a row, Bezdin said to her, listen, they talked to her, and they said, this is what's going to happen if you continue rebelling. Stop rebelling, and things will be fine. She refuses, so then she knows this is what's going
to
happen.
Don't they ask her why she's rebelling? Don't they ask her these questions?
Yeah. Well, they definitely talked.
Why is she
the Gemara's pasuk said before they talked to him.
Huh?
They talked to him.
What do you think? Talk to her.
Talk to her.
They talked to her also. What do you think? That's what it means, by the way, Bezin sends to her. But Bezin says, okay, we're warning you. Bezin spoke to her, and they explained it to her, and they say, listen, you're forcing us to do this against you. So, you know, do something about it.
What if she doesn't want it because the husband's abusive or something?
We'll get that in the Gemara soon.
Is it allowed to do this thing?
What? Bezdin?
No, I mean, imagine nowadays, you tell people...
Nowadays, everybody will sue everybody for everything.
No, I know, but what is... It's not like...
Let me ask you a question. Technically, okay, it because everything's political, and you say day, I'll say night, okay. But a husband who refuses to give a get...
Yeah.
They write what's called a shtar sidov, right? A refusal. Yeah? Now, many refusals, al pidin, are very powerful. That means the guy's not allowed to come into shul. You can't count him for a minion. You can't count, you can't give him an aliyah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
If he doesn't give a get?
Yeah, yeah. The shayla is which shul is obligated to listen to it. But let's say there was a little shtetl, right? It was one rav, one shul, you know, one community. Yeah? And the guy refused to give a get. The rav basically gave a sirov, meaning basically the sirov could be taken even stronger. They basically excommunicated the guy. Nobody was allowed to give him a job. Nobody was allowed to talk to him. Nobody was allowed to count him for a minion. Mamish excommunication. Today, you know what happens in New York or L.A.? This shul says, oh, Dafka, this shul's going to say yes. And that, you know the way it goes. So that's why it's not powerful.
I mean, they all don't go buy it?
Huh?
If a guy doesn't give a get, some shuls say, okay, you come to us?
Yeah. Depends how much money he gives. Okay, so now the Gemara says like this. Okay. So they announced it twice. Bezdin sent a message to her before the announcements. And after the announcements. What was after the announcements? They say, listen, we announced it 4 weeks, now you're going to lose your silver. Okay? So the Gemara says, Dorish Rav Nachum bar Rav Chista, Rav Nachum bar Rav Chista said, Halacha Krabi Seinu. The Halacha today is like the Rabbi Seinu, meaning not the thing, the method of $7 a week or the... What we do is, Bezin send it 12 messages, they announce it 4 weeks, and that's what they do. So that's what Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chista said. Amar Rava, hai burcha. This is not right, it's wrong. Burcha means it's wrong. Okay? Amar le Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, so Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok said to Rava, what do you mean burcha say? What do you mean this is wrong? I myself told him this din. That the halacha they can be saying no. That you do it the second way. And I didn't even say it from my own name. I said it from the name of Rabbi Yosi Rav Chanina. That means it was a great... So he said, this that I said, Allah is like Rabbi Seinu. It's not me. What do you mean it's wrong? Why are you saying it's wrong? Yeah, but Rava held it was wrong. Right? So why did Rava think it's not wrong? I mean, why do Rava thinks it's wrong that we don't paskin like the later rabbis that you announce it 4 weeks in the shul, but you do the first method of what does Rava hold?
First method of deducting.
Right, deducting pay. But here you command Sava. He says Ki Adi Itma Amar Rava Sheshes. Rava said the name of Rav Sheshes. Halacha de is Nimlochim Ba. You know what the halacha is? You first talk to her to reconcile everything. But you talk to her first. Okay? Now, so you have an extended period of time to talk to her. Because if you start announcing, and the Gemara, you see it's interesting, the Gemara works. If you hold the second method, it's much worse than the first method. The first method of $7 a week, could take 200 weeks until she loses everything. It could take years. The second method of Rabbi Seinu is much worse. You give her two warnings, you announce it in shul 4 weeks, and afterwards, she's gone. She loses everything. Right? So Rabbi said, I don't agree with that. Because Rabbi Merav says, The halacha is, you reconcile with her. You talk to her. And therefore, by deducting pay, is a much better way of accomplishing what you want to accomplish than just killing her after 4 weeks, basically. Dumping her.
It looks like when he's saying this, means the other people, they say we don't consult with her. We just punish her.
One minute. Rav Huna bar Rav Yehuda amar Rav Sheshes. Okay? In other words, like this. Rav said the name of Rav Sheshes. It's interesting. It's stupid what Rav Sheshes said. Rav said in the name of Rav Sheshes, you reconcile with her. You talk to her. Make it over an extended period of time. She'll see gradually she'll lose $7 a week, whatever. Yeah? So she'll think about it. But Rav Huna bar Rav Yehuda amar Rav Sheshes, aloch einim lochem ba. We don't reconcile with her. Therefore, Rav Nachman Rav Chista said it's wrong. Rav said it was wrong because he said you reconcile with her. Right? You do a slower method. And the other opinion says you don't reconcile with her. So that's the two opinions. If you hold, you try to talk to her logic, talk to her to reconcile. So then the din is, you spread it out. $7 a week, it could take an extended period of time, you talk to her, like this, you're threatening her, you're humiliating her, that means you don't reconcile with her. You don't reckon with her, and therefore that's the two opinions. So it's interesting, according to one opinion, the Gemara says, that you actually don't talk to her. Okay, but now the Gemara says, Heichi Dami Medes. Here's an interesting question. You brought this up before. The Gemara said before, bottom line is, everybody says a Medes is a marital relations. Yeah? Now, what's the scenario? How is the woman, what does the woman say? She said, I'm not going to be with him. Right? Now, there could be a rebellious reason, and there could be a non-rebellious reason. So Gemara says, Heichi Dami Meredes. What's the scenario when the woman is a Meredes? What's the case? Okay? So the Gemara says, Amar Amemer. Amemer says like this. The Amra Be'inan Lei, when she says, I want him as a husband, Umetzana, but I want to make his life miserable. I want him as a husband. You know, I want companionship, but I want to make him miserable not to be with him. But, listen to this, Aval Amna Moesalai, if she says, the guy's repulsive to me, it's disgusting, I can't be with him, then, like, finally, you don't force her.
So why does she get divorced? Why does she just says, I want a divorce?
Huh?
Why does she says, I just want a divorce?
Meaning, what does it mean? Meaning, no, the Gemara says, if the wife says, he's repulsive to me, I just can't stand the guy, then he has to divorce her. You don't make her life miserable by losing money in this. You make him divorce her now and let him pay the ksuba. Now, Marzutra argues, and he says, kaifenly. No. Even if she says he's repulsive, we force her to stay married.
Why? Why?
Why?
Yeah, why?
Because even then, she married the guy, tough luck.
Which one is worse? It's the one that says, I want him, but I want to torture him, but the one saying,
torture him is worse.
Yeah. So torture him. Give him everything.
Torture him is cruelty.
But she keeps
the other way is, I just can't stand the guy. I can't be with him. I can't have married a relationship. It makes me sick.
Yeah, but she tells him off, he screams at him, he yells at him.
No, but the Gemara tells an interesting story. Hava Uvda, there was such an incident that a woman said, my husband is repulsive to me. And Marzutra, who said, you force her to stay married? Yeah? It happened. And the great sage, Rav Chanina Masura, came from her. After he forced her to stay married to the husband. There's a woman, the mother of Rav Chanina from Sura, said, I can't stand my husband, it makes me sick, I don't want to be with him. Okay? So Marzutra didn't give her a get. Marzutra made her live with her husband, stay married, and look at a great guy, Rav Chanina, came up from it. So the Mefarshim discussed, by the way, the Gemara states that marital relation, when they hate each other, is going to bring up unrighteous children. So then, Rav Chanina, that was born from this thing, definitely the parents didn't hate each other when she conceived. So obviously, he got them back together, that she changed his feelings towards him. There was a mice in the Mishnah, that, the same thing with Rabbi Shmuel. This guy came to Rabbi Shmuel, and he said, my wife is ugly, I can't stand her, I want to divorce her. I can't stand her, she's ugly. No, because she was very poor. She had no makeup, no clothing, she was very, very poor. Okay? So a guy came to Rabbi Shmuel, who was Rabbi Shmuel Kain Gadol, and said, I want to divorce my wife. He kicked out the guy for a while. He took the woman, he got her jewelry, he got her perfume, he got her new clothing. And then she brought her back to the husband. And the husband was in love with her. So Rabbi Shmuel, that's the famous expression of the Gemara. B'nei Yisrael yafiyasim, yafiyasim. The Jewish girls are beautiful. The poverty makes them ugly. So basically Rabbi Shmuel said to this guy, dress her like a man, she'll be beautiful. Here's the reverse. The wife said, I can't stand my husband. Lepel Marzutra forced her to go back to him. And Rav Chanina ben Suri came out of it. Okay, but the Gemara said, Velahi, that's not a good proof. Why? Siyata Dishmayahi. It was divine assistance that brought out the greatness. In other words, the Gemara wanted to learn from Marzutra's case with Rav Chanina that any time you force her to go back, you're going to have a son like Rav Chanina. The Gemara says, no, that was a unique situation, basically.
Even though they hated each other, but the father of Tzaddik or something.
Huh?
They hated each other, but the father of Tzaddik, the Baruch of Tzaddik.
Whatever it was.
That's not a proof.
So it says you can't bring a... The Gemara wanted to bring a proof in the story. Marzutra, look what happened. Marzutra was right. Marzutra said you force him to go back. And look what happened. Rav Chanina Misura came out of it. And Marzutra says not a proof. There was a unique situation. Okay, listen. Interesting Gemara, God Almighty. Kalsud Rav Zvid Imrida. The daughter-in-law of the famous Rav Zvid rebelled against her husband. The daughter-in-law, yeah? So she rebelled against Rav Zvid's son. Havet Tfisa Chad Shira. She seized one silk robe, which she brought into the marriage as part of the dowry. Yosef, so now the question is, does she have a right to get it, or does she have to give it back? Okay? Yosef, Amemer Marzut Ravashi. So these three people, Amemer Marzut Ravashi, we're discussing the case, okay? V'yosef Ravgamda Gabayu. And Ravgamda was sitting together with them. And they were sitting and saying, Mordom, it says in the Braise, that it says the following, that if Sida, Mordom, if the wife rebels, remember we learned before, she loses the Ksuba. But now the Braise says, not only does she lose the Ksuba, she loses the properties she brought into the marriage. So they said, 1 minute, if that's the case, she has to give the silk back. Right? She has to give the silk back to Rav Zvid's son. Correct? So Amale Rav Gamda said to him, 1 minute, Mishum Rav Zvid, Gavra Rabba, because Rav Zvid is such a great rabbi, you're flattering him. Why are you ruling in his favor? Because it was Rav Zvid's son, right? Amir Afkan Rabbakana said, Mi boy Rabba Le Poshit. Rabba didn't say a clear statement that the rebellious wife loses the dowry she brings into the marriage. We don't know. And if she doesn't, if we don't know, why are you paskening that she has to give it back? If we don't know, so what's the halacha? She's holding it. She keeps it. Right? Ikadami, other people say, okay, no, we're going to leave it here. Keep going now. Okay.